All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Unless you're John Granato and you have no idea how to say that, well, you probably shouldn't know how to say that because you only say that between 1 and 4 to start off a show at 1 o'clock on ESPN 97.5. That's how we do things around here. It's The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. We're all present and accounted for on a wonderful Thursday in the big city. Barry, getting ready to get warm hugs and grape rubs.
I feel like no one knows what you were referencing there. You should explain it to the people.
I have 3 hours.
You can't do inside jokes.
I can if I want. Because, again, I don't work on your timing. I don't sit there when you're on stage and go, you know, I feel like your timing was a little off.
Yeah, but my jokes on stage aren't inside jokes. They're outside jokes where people get it.
When you jump in before I get a chance to explain it, it makes it more difficult.
Well, we are off to a rocking good start.
Yeah.
I like it.
A Usual Suspect start.
Yeah, of course.
That's the way we do things around here.
So John tried to start their show with that, right?
Yeah, and he did an awkward pause, and then they called him out on the fact that he listens to our show, but he doesn't normally hear us opening the show, and they said that was because you're already on the first tee by then, and he said, no, that's when I'm just unlocking my car. So he got it wrong. Raheel was really upset with his timing on the entire
thing. Why are they so afraid to admit that they're listening to the show? And I'm talking to everybody, John, AJ. You know you're listening.
That's why I
you're listening.
I texted Raheel this morning, and he knows I listen. He yelled at me for listening to his show one day, and I was like, what? I don't get it.
If I'm in the car, I'm listening to this station. So when I drive home, I'm listening to the Blitz. When I'm driving in, I'm listening to Sean and John. If I happen to get out early and run errands, I'm listening to John and Raheel with Dell. Did I say it right?
Yeah, that was good.
I've been practicing because I always say Dale.
Normally you're listening to satellite radio 80s hip-hop
hits. Sometimes. Sometimes I'll switch it up a little bit. But no, I listen to everybody because I also try not to absorb other people's takes because I don't feel like you should steal other people's takes because that happens in this business. Mm-hmm. So it's part of it is I don't want to listen to other radio stations or other shows or programs because I want to have my opinion and not end up giving someone else's opinion, whether it be on purpose or by accident. You know what I'm saying?
I totally get it. I mean,
because people will either steal your takes or borrow them or do them.
Yeah, but the other thing that's tough about this time slot is the fact that by 1 o'clock, especially with major topics, they've not only been regurgitated on pretty much every show from 6 a.m. on,
yeah,
but every possible opinion and side of the matter has been exhausted. So that's why a lot of times we try to entertain as much as we do. We don't normally, like this first segment, we never start off with news of the day and pound the top topics in the sports world because of the fact they've already been beaten like a drum by then.
My favorite is when we'll do something that I'll see or you'll see or Nick will see on like the internet somewhere. The other day, we did the story about the woman that slapped the crap out of her man for interrupting her while she was masturbating. And there were people that were like, oh, you guys stole the Blitz's story. Well, one, the Blitz didn't make the story. The Blitz read it on the internet like the rest of us did, and they did it. So, I mean, there's nobody owns these stories. You know what I mean? Now, do you want to hear the same one done 15 times? No. But you know what? There's going to be overlap sometimes, and it's going to happen. We're going to do a story, and then the Blitz is going to talk about it later and vice versa.
But it's one thing if someone on Twitter does it. AJ's the one that normally does it.
What?
Goes, well, I see they stole our story again. They were listening to us. And we talked about that yesterday. I've heard him do it 2 and 3 different times.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll be honest with you.
But he's a professional. He doesn't complain.
When I first started radio, Fred helped me by giving me links that he uses to prep.
Yeah.
Okay. He was like, these are the links that I go to. Use these as you will. This will help you in your show prep. And it did tremendously. But when you do that, everyone goes to TMZ. You know what I mean? Like, we read these websites, so it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I'm with you because...
It's like, if we do a story, and because we're in front of them, if something comes out and we do the story and then the Blitz does it, I don't think the blitz is stealing our material.
I never do.
I don't think
but
that.
But vice versa, you know. But at the same time, I'm a lot of tongue in cheek. Fred, when I first was doing the world tour of working with everybody under the sun, Fred was great about doing the same thing, showing me, like, you know, to properly prep the right sites to hit up and, you know, for this or that.
Fred's the godfather here. As much crap as I give him and AJ, they've helped me so much that I'll
give that to Fred, yeah. And, Fred's chiseled now.
He is
a workout machine, which is fantastic as well for motivation.
I shouldn't stop
Fred
you.
And Fred is the godfather of the front office here, too.
Yeah, and I shouldn't stop you from making fun of AJ because, was it yesterday? It was either yesterday or the day before. We were talking about this Rockets swimsuit calendar that was on this table. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know, let me preface this by saying, if you don't know, my mom was a Red Rowdy. And I think still is part-time.
Didn't she say she did the
She was Rowdy Granny. Yeah, she also did that, but that was years ago. Okay. But she's Rowdy Granny.
Okay.
Is who she is. So she does it. But we were talking about the poster for the Rockets, and I was like, yeah, this chick right here is, you know, she's pretty hot. And he was like, yeah, well, she's a cheerleader, Barry. They're not ugly. I was like, well, some of them are plump. And I was like, have you seen the big fat breakdancer guy? Like, he's big guy. I think he's considered a cheerleader. But all he does is, all he can do is really hold the chicks up. Like, that's all he can do because he's big.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Dominic.
No,
last
no, 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 not
other
that guy.
I know who you're talking about.
But I was like, yeah. And then he goes, well, have you seen the new Rowdy's calendar? The new Rowdy's swimsuit calendar? I was like, no. He goes, yeah, your mom looks hot on it.
Oh,
it's like, you're such an a-hole. But see, that's what I mean. You got to take it. I've known AJ for years and years.
I know you have.
That's why I feel like, well, what does that mean? Look, he's like, oh, I know you have.
I know you have.
What I'm saying is 99% of what AJ says, I don't take seriously. It's all tongue-in-cheek.
Nick, you're right there with him.
In on the joke.
No, I mean, I think some of it is joking. Some of it is kind of serious. That's what I think. I think it's a mix, honestly. I think if he's done it two or three times about the stealing, I think some of it's serious. That's my personal opinion. You don't mention it multiple times.
Yeah, like your Schnauzer on Coke story was one of them that he went off on.
The Schnauzer on Coke
The Schnauzer.
Oh, the one that ate the crack? Yeah. Yeah, that was on the internet for like a week.
Right, well, they did it the day before us.
Oh.
So that was an issue.
Well, that's going to happen. So I'm not worried about it.
Getting back to the main point on this, too, that's what happens when you do the 1 o'clock show, too. The morning shows, the mid-morning shows, they've exhausted a lot of the top topics. To where, yeah, it's going to be done before sometimes.
Yep.
People are going to talk about it.
That's and just in case you're wondering, I refuse to turn on the AC because my nipples are hard as a rock. And I have no idea why.
You cutting glass over there?
Yeah, I went into look at that.
At least you only got two.
Look at that. Yeah, that's true. If I had three, that would be weird. Then I would look like a constellation across my chest.
Are they hairy?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
That's the only hair I have, too, which is weird. I have one, like, chest hair. One single, sad, lonely, solitary chest hair. And then some nipple hair. That's
you water it?
No, it's not like a chia. I'm not like a chia chest or anything like that. Just the one. That's it.
Okay.
Sad.
Right. I don't know where else to go from there after the one solitary chest hair.
It's all right. I mean, just sharing. Just
one
over your
lonely
sharing.
Chest hair in the middle of your
that's right.
existence.
One sad.
I know you guys are knee deep in the President's Cup, which is on our televisions, which is more than I can say, which is on our internet.
Nope, I'm not watching it. I don't think I will. Did they kneel?
They said they would not.
I don't think they did. When I was at that charity auction and fantasy draft.
With Jazz?
Yeah, with Jazz 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of weird because out of nowhere they're like, all right, we're going to do the national anthem. Everyone stand. And it was like, what? We're doing this at a charity event?
They did the anthem?
Yeah. And I almost wanted to kneel just to piss people off. And then I thought, well, I'm representing Gal Media and ESPN, and I'm not going to do that.
I thought that would have been giving you more ammunition to do it.
But, yeah, I just thought that was kind of weird to be playing the anthem.
That is a little awkward.
At a charity event.
And it's going to be the hip thing to do now, I guess.
Because who was making the point? Somebody was making the point that... Sports. Oh, was it Costas was the one that was saying that the only time that we, you know, like, you don't go to the movies and they don't play the anthem. You don't go to a play and they play the anthem. You don't go to, there's a lot, the only time you really get the anthem played is at a sporting event before. And I didn't think about that before, but he's right.
True. Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
But,
even at school, you did the Pledge of Allegiance. You didn't do the
anthem. Go to a concert, they don't do it.
It's true.
Kind of weird.
Weird, wacky stuff, Barry. Way
this
to start
is
the
some
show.
Weird,
that is
wild,
some wild
stuff.
I did not know that, Ed.
Okay, so we've got a full show lined up for you today. Calvin Murphy's going to join us to talk about wearing 9 pairs of socks and crazy suits throughout his illustrious career. He'll be around 3:30. 2:30, Sigmund Bloom. We always try and give you a little heads up because the fantasy football questions are going to be a blow-and-go segment, getting as many as we possibly can in. That means you have to be ahead of the game. Text us, tweet us, or call us. We're going to be rolling through with Sigmund Bloom to try and get your questions answered for fantasy this weekend. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Text, call, or hit us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Back with a whole lot more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The station that brought you Dream Crushers, the pepper spray incident, and male golfer female golfer food. We celebrate 10 years.
Out of my mouth.
Thank you, Houston.
Thank you.
ESPN 97.5 is 10. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Usual Suspects, back on a happy-go-lucky Thursday right here in the big city. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel as we continue to motor on, and we'll hit the brakes with the emergency brake here real quick before we go any further. Do a little shout-out, a rest in peace to the legend himself, Hugh Hefner, who passed away.
So sad.
Sad day because of that man, with that man and his life, as I was thinking about it, I would have stayed alive and kicking as long as I possibly could have.
And, well, 91 he kind of did though, right?
Yeah, but with the medical technology that allowed certain things to work better than others, even at 91, I'm sure life was still grand.
I don't know. At 91, you've got so many problems with your body. You probably can't control your bladder. You might even not be able to control your sphincter. So you're
assuming. But I mean, as long as you could control them.
Have you ever met a 91-year-old? There's a lot of issues they got going on. They got bad knees and hips and cataracts, and the arthritis gets them, and the gout.
Arthritis?
Yeah, they got gout. I don't.
Gout media? I got gout media.
I'm just like, at 91, I would be fine if it was like, if they gave you the choice to be like, you know what, you can just tap out. Okay. That might be all right.
No, I'm not. I'm not tapping out, especially if I'm Hugh. But I was thinking about it in the car this morning going to get coffee when I heard he passed. Has there ever been, I mean, I'm thinking about all these different famous people and rich people and people that have had great lives. Is there anyone that had a better life ever than Hugh Hefner? Like, greatest life ever. I'm thinking, because, you know, a lot of people said Michael Jordan when I was talking people at the coffee shop.
Who said Michael Jordan?
Like, some of the guys at the Starbucks, and I was like, here's the thing. You had to watch your dad was murdered, and a lot of people think it was because of your gambling that got him murdered. So there was a lot of ups and downs. You know, the downs are traumatic when you talk about, you know, some of the things that some of these famous people have been through. I don't know if it's a musician, an athlete, you know, who had a better life, but I'm thinking all in all, being surrounded by celebs and athletes at the mansion and the brothel thing they had going on and whatever they call the waterfall thing that was going on.
You had a brothel?
Yeah, kind of, but it was...
You talking about the Grotto?
Sure, that too. It's a good restaurant. No, yeah, I mean, that and the parties, the... Is that what they call it, the Grotto?
Yeah, it's the Grotto by the pool. Yeah, the...
Under the waterfall.
Okay. That's the Grotto.
It's also a good restaurant here in Houston. But
you've already done it.
Yeah, no, the... Whatever it was, I mean, look, the entertainment factor had to be great. You had all these beautiful women at all times running around the mansion. You threw a party whenever you felt like it, and everybody wanted to be there. You know, you had the successful magazine. Then it went into the channel,
That has been successful.
Did you ever have the Playboy Channel?
Indeed.
I did too. My wife got me a subscription to Playboy for mm-hmm. Christmas one year, mm-hmm. and I kept it for a couple years. Favorite of all time, though, had to have been sneaking my dad's Playboy with Madonna in it, and then realizing that she didn't shave her underarms. Mm. That was disappointing. Second favorite was Miss America, Vanessa Williams, right?
Yep.
And then third would be any of them that Pam Anderson was in. I had a huge crush on Pam Anderson. But I had the Playboy Channel, and I was always disappointed at how whack it was. You might as well just watch, like, Busty Cops on Cinemax. It's the same thing.
For a while, it was like that, and then they decided to give you more action.
Did they?
After a certain
point. They showed more? Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, they did.
Like at night?
Yep.
Well,
not just after I canceled my subscription. Either, but yeah, they loosened the...
So they went from like... Because it used to be like softcore.
Right. It used to be like Skinamax.
Or X, right? Like you might see every once in a while somebody might scissor or something, but that's about it. And then it you know, at night I know it would get a little more risque, but it was never... Did they go like triple X?
They went to everything except for the money shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I should renew my subscription. Well, not anymore. He's dead. That's probably...
Well, that's the other question, too. I mean, one is who had a better life? And two, now that he's gone, you know, they already screwed around with no more centerfolds, no more nudity with the magazine and everything else.
Yeah, they ruined that.
Is the empire just going away? And will anybody ever have a life and a lifestyle anywhere similar? It seems like the end of an era because I don't see another Hugh Hefner on the horizon. I don't know if Playboy survives it.
Porn is too corporate now. You know what I mean? The whole porn industry, it's very corporate. It's all about clicks and advertising and everything else. And yeah, I think Hugh was about revolution and so many other things back when he started Playboy. I think it's different now. The internet changed the game, but that's like music. You know what I mean? The music industry has changed. The adult entertainment industry is going to change as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no Hugh Hefners out there in the world necessarily. There's no what's Larry Flint?
Yeah.
There's none of that anymore. But because you know you've got like Bang Bus and all these are corporations. Really, they're owned by media companies and big corporations and. That's what you see now. You see the porn hubs of the world.
Yeah, I mean, look, and because of that, the internet alone, it has changed everything so drastically from where the innovator was Hugh Hefner and creating this magazine and then the popularity and the following and the bunnies and then the Playboy clubs across the country in which, you know, women knew that they were going to make money if they were a bunny. You knew that guys wanted to have the membership to the clubs. It became the hip and cool and now thing to do. And look, dude was not exactly, you know, stunningly attractive Mr. Cool Guy.
I wouldn't have banged him. He was an ugly dude.
He turned ugliness into flat-out sexiness by creating an empire.
It's amazing that money, it's amazing how sexy money can make you.
Yep.
He got a lot of money in a robe and was like, line up. That's just so easy.
Pretty smooth robe, though.
Oh, come on.
He wore the satin robe with the black lapel.
He wore a hat like the fat guy in Gilligan.
He did. He wore the skipper's hat. I told Nick that in the production. Skipper's hat from Gilligan's Island. But he still got plenty of ass. That's what I'm saying. He lived a charmed life for being just, you know, an average guy.
Now, here's the thing. I hear stories that Hugh Hefner got a lot of ass. I don't believe them.
He married Barbie Benton, who was a playmate. He married Kimberly Conrad, who was a playmate.
You don't think for one second that those were all for show? You think that these hot 20-year-old chicks like were attracted to Hugh Hefner's old wrinkly ass? I don't think so.
I think there's some validity to what you're saying. I would argue like in the 80s and 70s, I bet you they were doing. Like,
no question.
He probably got more every 5 minutes. Give you that point. He probably got more ass in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Absolutely.
But in the 90s and the 2000s when he had the three wives and, oh, come on.
That was reality TV before the Kardashians.
Those 20-year-olds didn't want to see his wrinkly, naked body and
But again, a lot of them looked at it as a trade-off and an opportunity. Well, I'll suck it up for a minute and a half or two minutes.
This is a family show.
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half, 2 minutes to get the trade-off of living at the mansion, being waited on hand and foot, being on television weekly, you know, doing all these different things and opening up doors that way. And I think that I'm sure that a lot of them looked at it as a trade-off to make it as a career move. But when you look at Barbie Benton, you look at Kimberly Conrad, I mean, he had sex with them. He had kids with some of them. He definitely, earlier on in his younger days, he was really rolling. But I think I agree with you that the three at one time for the reality show was a bit much and not very believable.
Yeah, I just never did. I never he was getting so much ass. I'm like, nah. I just not buying it. First of all, even in the 70s and 80s, he was still an ugly dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it was Brad Pitt that started Playboy and just there was so much ass thrown at this guy that he had to buy property to store all the ass he was getting. Like, this is Hugh Hefner. Not an attractive dude.
A lot of women, money is sexy, because you're right. I said he was just maybe even a below average looking dude, but he was killing it because of the fact that he had an empire that he created.
Well, okay. Bill Gates is one of the richest men in the world. You think he's getting ass hand over fist? I don't think so. I just don't think so.
He might be getting fist over ass. You don't know. I'm just saying that, you know, he's a very wealthy man, but he's also married.
Well, I mean, Hugh was married,
until
right?
Hugh was married. He was.
My boy Ro Pimpin on Twitter said they brought back the nudity with Playboy.
Did they? They realized that was a no-win proposition.
Yeah, they found out really how many people read it for the articles and were like, oh, we've been lied to. No one is reading this for the articles. But it's weird because who really wants a Playboy magazine now?
Yeah.
A digital version.
Yeah. I just feel like it's always been weird to me, too, the difference in culture between here and over in like the United Kingdom and in England and stuff. Like in England, topless, like just women's breasts is nothing.
Was that Page Six every day?
Yeah, like in just in like what our version of the National Enquirer is, they would just have a naked chick every time. And it's like that, like you're not going down and picking up a People magazine and getting to look at some chick topless in it here because it's you can't do that. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I'm
glad we did this segment because I finally isolated
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half.
It's in the reel, bud.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, boy.
I want reverse production facilities in here
can't do that. All of a sudden, it's a problem.
Oh, no, I don't have a problem
can't
with it.
Do that.
I really don't have
like
a problem.
Four
with
of them.
It.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh, God, I'm still swallowing it.
Put the nuts in your mouth and it's soft pork corn.
Lame.
There you go. We got plenty.
Soft pork corn is my favorite.
And now we've got.
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half.
Is that my laugh?
Yep.
Wow. I'll suck it up for a minute and a half. You got some stamina. You got some lungs on you, Joel.
Yeah, well, you know. So we continue to roll on again. I was thinking about it. Tiger Woods' life better? No, because he had a big downswing. He lost his dad. He had, you know, ever since he hit the hydrant, he hit the skids. I guess you could say.
Who's lived a more charmed life is the question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me think about it. I will say this, too, though. If you're texting or tweeting, we're doing our best. We have no internet connection.
Yeah, all right? Good point.
I'm functioning off my phone, so if I don't get your fantasy questions answered, if I don't get your text messages read, just know that I'm not ignoring you. I don't have internet, so I'm doing my best with those, okay?
Okay, so. Yeah, definitely. Without internet, it's tough. By the way, tomorrow, if you are in the Beaumont area, we will be at Luke's Ice House. Barry won't. He'll be in Dallas getting warm hugs and all that other stuff at Hyenas in Dallas. But, Nick, are you joining me tomorrow in Beaumont?
We'll find out.
All right. Well, I'll be there. We're going to go to Beaumont Luke's Ice House, 2325 Calder Avenue, for the entire show. Look forward to meeting and greeting with all you guys out there in the Beaumont area in the 409. And so that's on the agenda. Plenty more on the agenda today. Again, remember, fantasy football questions, Sigmund Bloom at 2:30, Calvin Murphy at 3:30, and a whole bunch much more in between. So hang tight. Don't go anywhere. More of the usual suspects in just minutes on ESPN 97.5.
I'll suck it up for a minute and a half.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Nick and Barry are here. To me, that's a sin, but instead, we'll continue to go on with the second half hour of the three-hour extravaganza. Hey, Barry, there's hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. It could be a train running to run us over, or it could be the internet. We could be up and running. I'm good. I have internet.
Okay.
So we're good. Let's see if it lasts. That's a good sign.
All right.
So we already have covered a little rest in peace, Hugh Hefner. Your Astros, another win, as we were on the air yesterday during the middle of that thoroughly enjoyable ass-kicking of the Rangers. A sweep of the series, because, God, they needed that series at home. Man, it was impactful to their playoff chances. You send them home. You get another win. Unfortunately, the Indians won. The Twins have clinched the second wild card, so therefore they celebrated last night. They're about to start a day game if they haven't already started now, but it looks more and more like it is going to be the Red Sox and your Astros next week starting at Minute Maid Park, and it looks like the Indians will take on the winner of the wild card game between the Yankees and the Twins. You're good with all that? Set with all that? Because, I heard John and Raheel this morning, and they were talking about the pitching rotation. Nothing is intimidating with the Red Sox to me, pitching-wise, with the exception of Chris Sale, and he hasn't been great lately, that I'm okay. I mean, with the options that the Astros are throwing out there in terms of their side of the equation with starters, regardless of who they settle in on and whatever order they put them in, aside from Chris Sale, the second biggest worry I have in terms of the Red Sox pitching would be David Price has been really, really good, surprisingly, coming out of the bullpen. And if it gets to a closer situation, look, they're lights out. But other than that, Porcello doesn't – he's not – I mean, there's every – if you look at everybody else in the Red Sox rotation, not named Chris Sale, they don't put fear in my heart.
Yeah, it's not – I mean, it's not – you'd like to think that they're – that it's Chris Sale and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, though, is that this is a Red Sox team that has pitched well for most of the year. They've had their ups and they've had their third in ERA in the league, second in quality starts, which says a lot about how deep into the game that this team, this staff can go, and fourth in WHIP, which is a good indication of how wild or how, you know, if they pitch under control or if they kind of, you know, look like the Astros bullpen where they can't spot their fastball and just giving up hits all over the park, but maybe not runs. But you're right. It comes down to you're going to face Chris Sale twice.
Yep.
So who's better or who can get to who? Is Chris Sale more susceptible to getting got or is it Justin Verlander? And if you look at early in the year, Verlander got touched up a bit. He's been lights out. He's been nails. He's been money. He's been whatever, you know, whatever adjective you want to use to describe him now. But at the time, he was carrying a 4+ ERA. So yeah, Chris Sale scares me. But you've got that with every team now. That's what the playoffs are, right? If you're going to face the Indians, you got to face Corey Kluber twice. So does that scare you? The Indians have a fantastic pitching staff as well. So what you hope is that the advantage that this team, this Astros team, has over the Red Sox and over every other team, I think, in the majors, really in the playoffs, is that they have the best lineup 1-9. And that's what you hope, is that when you get down to 7, 8, 9, that's where the difference is going to be made in the series against somebody like the Red Sox. Is can your 7, 8, 9 have a better shot of hitting Chris Sale than their 7, 8, 9 has a better shot of hitting Verlander? That's what you hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you look at it and the way if they do indeed go Verlander in game one, Keuchel in game two, it looks like because they want Sale in game five, that it's going to be Sale in 2 and 5 for the Red Sox, the way they're lining them up. Because they still have Sale penciled in for the last game of the Astros series Saturday.
So, yeah, you've got the Astros are playing, we'll assume Red Sox for now.
Mm-hmm.
But October 5th.
Just to give you more clarity on that,
mm-hmm.
Top of the ninth in Cleveland right now. Minnesota still hungover. Indians 5, Twins nothing with 2 outs. So it's over.
So, I mean, that game's
so
over.
So that's back to a game and a half.
A game and a half with, what, three to play?
Well, they have three to play. The Astros have four.
Against the White Sox.
Yeah. And the Astros would have four against the Red Sox. So, yeah, it's, again, it's essentially over. The Astros play on the 5th. They play on the 6th. They play on the 8th. This is all in October. And the 11th.
The 8th and then not till the 11th?
Yep.
Well, that's great if you want to set up the right pitchers.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's that gap in there that if you go with five, you know what I mean, you can get there. So I think you have to go Verlander on the 5th no matter what, which means Keuchel is on the 6th, right? So so you're going to use a third starter on the 8th.
Right.
And then you're going to have Verlander pitching on the 11th, which means Keuchel would be your game 5. So if you're matching that, then yeah, you're going to see Chris Sale at the same time you would be seeing Verlander. So you're going to see Sale on the 5th and the 11th. So game 1 and game 4.
They said this morning, John and Raheel were saying that the Red Sox are leaning towards, because Sale's pitching on Sunday, they're leaning on going 2-5 with 4 days rest in between for him, so he would pitch game 2 but still be ready for game 5. I thought Hinch was leaning more towards Verlander in game 1.
And rightfully so. Again, I don't think you leave those bullets in the gun. You're not. You're in the position where you don't have to do what Boston has to do if they get caught by the. What's their lead right now? By the way, do we know
the Red Sox and Yankees?
Yeah,
yeah.
Is it still three games?
Let me briefly just bring up the standings. So it's three games in the loss column. Yeah.
Okay.
So Red Sox 3 up on the Yankees. And then the Yankees are Tampa Bay tonight at Yankee Stadium at 6 o'clock Central, while the Astros and Red Sox are at Fenway. So Tampa Bay versus an Astros team that really doesn't look like it has anything to play for, neither do the Rays. So we'll see what happens. It looks like, in all inevitability, it's going to be the Yankees and the Twins in the wild card, the winner to take on the Indians, and then, of course, the Astros with home field against the Red Sox.
Yep. And looking at it, yeah, so you'll probably see – so and I missed a date. I'm sorry. It was the 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th, and 11th.
Okay.
Yeah, I missed the 9th. So, yeah, I would say – so you're saying that they're going to run Sale out there on the 6th and the 9th? Or you said this game 5.
The 6th and the 11th.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so because he'll have a full 4 days rest.
That'll be interesting. That's gonna make it interesting. I think that you're not matching up ace for ace with Verlander and Sale.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought that was a little different.
But I like their chances with Keuchel as well, though. I mean, you're talking about 1 and 1A, really.
Now, here's the one thing that I'll throw out on that. Keuchel's a guy that, just seemingly to me, he's so much a control guy, so much a pinpoint, paint the corners guy, location guy, that you don't want to give him too much time off in between, and he's not scheduled to pitch in this series against the Red Sox. So, to me, you know, he better have a hell of a bullpen session. You better make sure that, you know, I don't want him with too much rest. And the other thing is, Verlander's going to have a ton of rest, too, because you're not going to see him in the Red Sox series. Does that worry you at all, that he has too much time between starts?
No. Nope.
Because he pitched in the Rangers series, now you won't see him again until game 1.
No,
next Thursday.
You know, it doesn't worry me, and the reason it doesn't worry me is that they can throw side sessions if they need to. You can run them out there for an inning in game, you know, in the last game of the season this year if you want to get them some work in. No, it doesn't worry me. I mean, and that's what you might see, honestly. You might see in the last two games versus the Red Sox, don't be surprised if Verlander comes in for an inning in the middle of a game. Don't be surprised if Keuchel pitches an inning in the middle of the game just to get some work in, just to stay in some sort of, you know, regular work pattern before the series comes up. It could happen. It's happened before. So
it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. As I said, Indians 5, Twins nothing. Minnesota with their final at bat with 2 outs and 2 on, 9th inning. So that one looks like it's all but over, which means that we're getting closer and closer to solidifying everything in the American League. We've got a whole bunch more to get to on this show, so we're going to step away for a quick break. Then we're going to come back with a whole lot more. Your boy Deshaun Watson, not only did he do some things on the field last Sunday, he did some things in the cafeteria yesterday. And let me tell you something, they made an impact. This kid is really, really a good dude. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects in the first hour of the three-hour extravaganza. As we continue to roll on, we were talking about the matchups with the Red Sox and the Astros leading into the weekend, where it looks like the Indians have all but wrapped up home field in the American League for the rest of the playoffs, the remainder of the, for the entirety of the playoffs. And it looks like the matchups with that are set with the Astros and Red Sox, and the winner of the wild card taking on the Indians. You were looking at some things during the break.
Yeah, if you know if what you're suggesting is accurate as far as who they're going to go with, because with three, they've got the four games against the Astros. I know ESPN is projecting Sale to start on the first, which would you putting his regular rotation to start on the sixth. I don't know if I'm the Red Sox if I do that, but let's assume for a moment that they did. Okay. Then, yeah, you would have Pomerantz going in game one, Sale in game two, and then it would probably be Porcello in game three, or they could go with Rodriguez, throwing a righty in there, and then Pomerantz again and Chris Sale. That matchup for the other side would look something like, so you would have Verlander and Pomerantz at home here in Houston. I like that. I think that favors the Astros, obviously. Mm-hmm. Game two is Keuchel and Sale. I think that slightly favors the Red Sox, but I like the fact that you've got an ace that's been on this staff, that's an ace, that's a Cy Young winner, that you can still throw
really
out there.
Well, at Minute Maid.
And that's right. That's a great point to keep in mind, okay? So you throw Keuchel against Sale out there. Then you go on the road, and this is where I think it's the best matchup of the series for the Astros. Game three is on the road, back Brad Peacock versus Porcello, Rodriguez, or Fister, and I think it's going to be in that order. Yep. So what you're essentially talking about is if Verlander can beat Pomerantz, you'll probably lose to Sale. I like their chances of Peacock getting a win on the road in Boston.
I do too.
That puts you up 2-1 with another Verlander-Pomerantz matchup that you would have won in game one.
As crazy as it sounds, too, from a Red Sox perspective,
like
throwing Pomerantz in game one, and it's weird. Monday against the Blue Jays, he got knocked around for 5 runs on 7 hits in just 2 innings. Didn't strike out a single batter. They think his velocity is down. They think that he might have a little bit of a tired arm, but yet they're talking about him being the starter in game one. And like you said, we're talking about
him in
the break.
He's been their second best pitcher.
Yeah, I'll take that, though. I'll take that matchup with Verlander, like you said. And Verlander, who's been lights out all over the place, has pitched well since he became an Astro at home. But we know more so than anything else, Keuchel really pitches well at Minute Maid. The Red Sox, I don't believe, Sale didn't see Minute Maid Park this year. Sale, you know, maybe saw it with the White Sox once or twice, but the home field, I think, is an advantage there as well in the fact that, you know, it's somewhat of a strange surroundings for Sale and the big hype of the playoffs after playing for the White Sox. And now you've got a home field advantage for Dallas Keuchel, literally because of the way he pitches at Minute Maid. I love that. I'll take Brad Peacock on the road.
Yeah.
He's been steady.
In game three, that might be, you know, I mean, that could be the swing game to begin with. And I like the fact that you would have Brad Peacock in that game versus one of their three guys in their rotation, not named Sale or Pomerantz. So that could bode well.
Pomerantz, April through August, average fastball, 92 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
September velocity, 90. And
so it could be wearing out a little.
It's been going down in his last two starts, 89. So
I mean, Rodriguez hasn't pitched bad either, but he's certainly not been their second best pitcher for the year. It's definitely Pomeroy.
And like when you mentioned Porcello a year ago, the AL Cy Young Award winner. But this year, he leads the American League in losses.
Yeah.
Doug Fister, that name ring a bell? We've seen him as a member of the Astros. He's been hot and cold, up and down. And since he's been bouncing around between the Angels and the Red Sox, he's been a lot more cold than hot, though he's had some glimpses of vintage, if you want to say vintage Fister. But, I mean, he threw a two-hitter in one of his starts. But overall, Doug Fister shouldn't put fear in your heart.
Nope. And again, it'll be interesting to see how this shakes up. But if, like you said, then I like the fact that you would have Verlander, Pomerantz as one of the matchups. You'd see that twice, plus Peacock versus any of their three extras.
I'll take it.
Here's the only problem, though. Let me play devil's advocate for just a second. The only problem is if I'm not mistaken, Pomerantz is a lefty. Sale is a lefty.
Sale for sure is.
The Astros don't do well against left-handed pitching.
No, they don't.
That throws a bit of a monkey wrench into it all. If Pomer, throws left, bats right for Drew Pomeranz. Mm-hmm. So he's a lefty. So that scares me a little bit when you're going to have to face lefties twice right off the bat in the series. That could be somewhat of an issue for a team that struggled against left-handed pitching for some unknown and weird reason.
Especially with the way they can match up with their right-handed bats. But then the other thing is, too, keep in mind that the lefty coming out of the pen, like I said, David Price, who seemed to be a bust, paid a lot of money to get him, and he's had nothing but arm problems. Since they put him in the bullpen, he has been lights out. And so he could become their Andrew Miller. He could come in spots, and if you want to keep that lefty thing going because the Astros struggle with it, they have options. So at least that's something to consider. But look, like you said, the key is going to be the Astros' offense. Because if you look at the Red Sox, they're the worst home run hitting team in baseball. You know, they don't hit a lot of extra base hits. They're not anything to be considered a murderer's row or a daunted lineup. They have some quality players, yes. But I think huge advantage Astros when it comes to offense between the two teams. And as you said, we can break down pitching all along. But if the Astros bats even come close to hitting as steady as they have all season long, they should be able to control the series.
Best lineup in the majors.
Yeah.
I do believe that. So we'll find out.
So if you guys want to talk about anything with the Astros, give us a call, 713-780-3776, or text us or give us a tweet. The story I mentioned going into the break, a great story as Deshaun Watson headed into the Texans cafeteria yesterday, and a guy that really, really showed some things against the Patriots last weekend and gave everybody a lot of hope for the future and for the rest of this season. Also gave some hope to some people that were running out of hope in the cafeteria. He donated his entire week's check of last week, $27,353, to three ladies that work every day in the Texans cafeteria who were affected by Hurricane Harvey and lost everything, weren't insured. Pretty special deal from a pretty special kid.
Pretty cool. I like it. It's great to see. And I feel like this was pretty genuine because you're talking about a guy who benefited as well as a child growing up from, I think it was Habitat for Humanity that built him a house.
What's his name? Warwick Dunn actually presented the keys at
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, and I think that I don't doubt for one single solitary second that this was a genuine act on his part. While most people are out buying cars or doing whatever, this kid knew the gravity of the situation and understands his role.
He gets it.
In this organization and in this city, and he did it. And my hat's off to him, and I'm very proud of him. And it's one of those things I wrote about it on Houston Sports and stuff. Like, two things got me in my feels this week. One of them was Carlos Beltran crying, and the other one was this. And I thought it was both touching. That said, I did kind of hate to see in the video where you saw multiple camera guys and it felt a bit staged, but I'm not going to blame Deshaun Watson for that. I think he genuinely wanted to do this. You're an insider. You know how this stuff works. I genuinely feel like Deshaun Watson was like, I'm going to give my first game check to these three ladies that work in the cafeteria at Energy Stadium. And the Texans thought, well, we should get it on video and post it because people need to know that you're doing this. That's my assumption. You obviously could speak to it more.
We all know what we said, where JJ gets it from the time he was drafted by the Texans, and everybody said that he did it so well that a lot of people thought a lot of things were scripted and planned. This one didn't feel scripted to me from that standpoint of what you're talking about. I think this is one where the player had the idea, and then in discussing it with people in the organization, they thought, well, let's capitalize on the moment. Let's make sure we get video of it and stills, and let's make sure you get a little positive imagery out of this too. But it didn't feel like it was contrived or in any way, you know, forced, like he was forced to do this. It felt like it was something from his heart. And like I said, he seemed all along like a great kid. I think that in a day and age with what we're dealing with social media and publicity, I think there was no doubt that the organization said, look, let's make sure we record this in some way, shape, or form so that we can get it out there. But I think that regardless of whether there were cameras there or not, I think he still would have done it.
Yeah,
I thought it was a great gesture.
That's what I was saying. I think he does it no matter what. I think the Texans just capitalized on the opportunity.
Sure.
So, all right, guys, I want to tell you about my new favorite place to eat in the city of Houston. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. We were just there yesterday, myself, Joel, Nick. We go there periodically. We go there because the food is so good, and you're going to love this place if you go. You need to go give it a shot if you haven't been already. It's located in Midtown on Taft. It's 1901 Taft. Go check it out. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, and the reason is it's a mix of Southern comfort and Indian food. You're going to love this place. If you've listened to this show at all, then you know that I wasn't a fan of Indian food. I didn't like it. I had it once. So I went to Cowboys and Indians. I tried it, and Haas made some butter chicken for me to die for. Some of the best butter chicken in Houston. So if you're not a big fan of Indian food, go there and try it. I promise you, they'll make you a convert of it. I've had friends, I've had listeners tell me they've gone out and loved it. You will too. All kinds of stuff to choose from on the menu. They have quesadillas made with naan bread, which is Joel's go-to. They have the Himalayan Heat Burger, which that you can also get as a slider, which Nick loved. Wings, chicken curry. If you don't want that, they've got chicken fried steak. That's the beauty of the menu at Cowboys and Indians. There's something for everybody, and it's all delicious. The Indian food is family recipes that have been passed down generation from generation. So you know it's good, it's quality, and it's authentic. And full service bar, so you can watch the games. They've got college football coming up. Go out there Saturday. Watch some college football. Tell them you heard about it on ESPN 97.5. You get a 20% discount just for going out there and having some lunch. If you don't want to leave, though, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub will deliver Cowboys and Indians to your door. 1901 Taft, CNI713 on Facebook. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5.